We have a couple of minutes here. Let's just start with listening to this "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." This is a little different version. And then we'll sing another version after we are prepared with this version. How about that, huh? Father, it's good to put hymns in our heart, songs in our mind, and it's good to come to you. And so, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning. Thank you for this special prayer in the Bible, Daniel 9, probably one of the most prayers that we can study and study and study and study and still not plumb the depths of it, and yet it is so awesome to use as a barometer of how we pray, Lord. And so much to learn here, but we really just want to focus on you now and just lift our hearts to you and quiet down from all the cares of the world and the busyness that surrounds us. And so we'll just sing along. Turn to page 4. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's thou art calling, do not pass me by. Okay? Let us sing along with this group. Turn to Daniel chapter 9, if you would. If you have time, or if you want to take time to spend a little time on a prayer book on how to pray, this is the book, the Bible. But the notes this morning that you have there are 4 pages pretty much filled in. I had about 8, and I kept squeezing them down. But there's a lot here. You could spend a lot of time on this. As you're led by the Lord, but just so impressed with the earnestness of Daniel's prayer, so impressed with the determination of his prayer. And it just reminds me that my prayers are so lightweight, so nothing. And this is so centered on the Lord. If you count the you and yours in this prayer, there's 18. If you count the me and my and I, it's 1. Now, that ratio of 18 to 1 doesn't really fit my prayer life very well. My prayer life is too self-centered, I really believe. But this is a good prayer to look at. And it, of course, we begin in the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, and that's 539 B.C., we believe. And Daniel now remembers the prophecy of Jeremiah. I could just imagine him. I'm looking back in Jeremiah chapter 29 and Jeremiah 25. And, you know, I turn right to the verse. No, but he had a scroll. You know, I was just wondering how he would handle these scrolls and read through this scroll and find this 70-year prophecy. But he knew it, right? He knew it. And so he reads this, and it's kind of interesting because 70 years to 539 would be 609, right? When was the first deportation by Babylon? When did Daniel get captured and taken to Babylon? It was in the first deportation, 605. So this prayer is a good example of seeing a promise of God, particularly with Jesus coming back soon. We've got that promise, right? Now, we don't have the 70 years exactly given to us, so it's not quite the same as Daniel, but the principle is the same here. When you see a promise of God, it should cause us to pray, not prevent us from praying, well, God's promise is going to happen anyway. No, Daniel gets into action here, and he wants to pray early. He wants to start his prayer 3 or 4 years early, because there's 3 deportations here, all the way from 605 all the way down to 586 when Jerusalem finally fell. That's 18 years. 19 years. And so he wants the grace and mercy of God on Israel as soon as possible, because it could start 19 years from now, or, you know, 23 years from now, or whatever it is, or it could start, you know, on the first deportation. So I love that. And I would have never thought of that in a way, as I just think of Daniel's prayer, but that just gives you a little background on when he was called to prayer here himself and how he seeks the Lord. And so he gets on into the prayer in verse 3, then I set my face. And if you look at that a little bit, it really means I set with a very determined face. I set with a very determined outlook. How determined are you in your prayer? Are you really determined to wrestle it through? Are you really determined not to take no for an answer in a sense? And I'm not talking about your will, I'm talking about God's will. Daniel is praying for God's will. He's not praying to forget the captivity. He's praying to complete the captivity as you promised, God, and then bring us back. But we have sinned. And so he immediately goes into confession and immediately goes into a centered on the Lord kind of situation. And it's so good. And we need to pray for the church that way. I love what Spurgeon said. He said, if you're praying for the church and you expect a no answer, you'll get a no answer. But if you see it through on a yes answer, you're determined to pray for it, you'll get a yes answer. I think that's really true, because the Bible promises us if we pray for anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, he will grant us the petitions that we ask. The key is praying in accordance with his will. Now, how many of your prayers are really in accordance with his will, and how many are your prayers or my prayers what I want? Lord, give me this, give me that, give me something else. Well, he's going to give me what I need. He's not going to give me. It's good to ask. Give us, O Lord, this day our daily bread. I'm not saying don't ask, but recognize there's a difference in personal petitions and in praying with God-centeredness, and we need to do both. We need to do both. Pray personally for sure. I'm not saying don't ever forget your prayer person. No, pray all the time personally. I do. I'm always asking whether it's a parking place or whether it's a green light. Have you ever noticed how the green lights tarry for you and how your parking places open up? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the parking place had to be there long before I drove in. The Lord knows it, but somebody will move out and I go, Lord, that's great. That is awesome. Not that I couldn't walk a few feet, but, you know, it's just awesome. Just little things all day long. He's continually touching us, it seems. So this is really a self-centered prayer. No, this is a very much a God-centered prayer. And he set his face to make prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, these are emblems of humiliation and emblems of mourning. You football players know that you want to hit somebody low because you get good leverage. If you hit them too high, you're going to get bounced off. I think prayer is like that. We need to come in with a humble heart. If you come in with a proud heart, you're going to get bounced off. But come in low. Come in humbly, as we see here. That's prayer in sackcloth with Daniel. And this is legitimate, though. This isn't just praying with fasting like the Pharisees did. They did the same thing. But they were believing in prayer. And I think another important thing in today's prayer is you want to trust in the Lord, not in your prayer. If you ever go to the prayer rooms in a airport and watch these Muslims pray, man, they pray, but they're not praying to God. Their prayers are worthless. We need to keep our mind focused on the Lord and to pray to him. So he prays, makes confession, and the address is great in 4. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. And he goes right into the we have sinned, we have done wickedly. in your prayers, include your sin. Don't just say, well, that bad neighbor next door, Lord, he's a hopeless case. He's not good like I am. No, that wasn't quite the right prayer there, is it? So as you come through this, you see he is always including himself in the aspect of being with the people he's praying for, and that is Israel. And he goes on and compares their failure and always comparing to God's righteousness and God's perfection. And he goes on down and he develops his prayer to do this for your name's sake. Do this because of your glory, not because of Israel, not because of us. So we need to pray the same way, because of his glory. And so in verse 17 we read, "Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication." Why? "For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine." I think if you don't have anything else to pray for that you can really think, just ask the Lord's face to shine on you. Spurgeon, in this comment right here, said, you know, if you see a sickly, little, lonely child, you could write 50 things he needs, but if you just put down, "Let him get to his mother," all these needs will be met. So we could have 52 needs, but if we have the Lord, he'll meet them all, right? And you only have to go through 52. He knows what they are anyway. "Oh, my God, incline your ear to hear, open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies." What a great, great prayer. And then the final, "Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake." Not for our sake, but for your sake. "My God, for your city and for your people are called by your name." So when we're praying for the church today, that fits. It's his bride called by his name. And we need to pray for the church in earnest, I believe, even as Daniel was praying for the nation Israel here, in all earnestness and humility. So let us go to prayer now as the Spirit would lead us, and we know the Lord will hear our prayers. Father, we thank you for this beautiful prayer in Daniel chapter 9. And Lord, we could spend hours on it, but we don't have that. That's not the purpose of this meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to just be led to you and be encouraged in our prayers and see how prayers in the Bible are so much of an example for us. So guide us and lead us now by your Spirit as we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.